Jesus reveals God's true intent behind the law. Part 43, The Law of Retribution, Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 291, since January the 20th, 2017. By the grace of God, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live over this first four-year term of President Trump, I will cry in the wilderness and prophesy, if you will, and preach, thus saith the Lord. Not necessarily at President Trump, although sometimes I will say some things directly to him. But to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a dying and lost world, and to remind the church to keep the main thing, and the main thing is not politics. The main thing is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to pray for lost people, pray for Christians, pray for this nation, and to be a witness for the Lord. By the grace of God, I plan on preaching over 1,000 gospel messages during this time. And this is day 658, by the way, since January the 1st, 2016, when I preached the gospel throughout that tumultuous political year, 367 days straight, by the grace of God. Allow me, if you will, to preface my message today with this question: what is the gospel? And this answer, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel is embodied in these words: moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And I'm adding this verse as a reminder to myself and to other preachers. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You may be seated. In other words, my beloved, it is not wise for us to get caught up in politics, even though it may be interesting. We need to, as preachers of the gospel, to stay focused on that. We have a job to do, and we have a charge to keep. Ray Ortland said, many people read the whole Bible, and their understandings of the gospel differ widely, remain vague, or are just plain wrong. Some speak of the gospel in terms of God's favor pouring out in financial prosperity, and it has really nothing to do with that. Others describe a political utopia in Christ's name. And obviously that is not what's happening. Still others emphasize following Christ, bringing in his kingdom, or pursuing holiness. Some of these themes are biblical, but none of them is the gospel. Paul reminds the Corinthian believers and us of the gospel message and its comprehensive relevance to them and to us. They received it. They stand in it. They are being saved by it. These sacred and powerful benefits flow into their experience as they hold fast to the gospel word that Paul preached to them. The Corinthians do not deserve such blessing, but the gospel announces God's grace in Christ for the undeserving. The Corinthians' only catastrophic failure would be unbelief, with so much to commend about the gospel. No wonder Paul ranks it as of first importance in his priorities by saying again, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." I know why Paul said that now. Because, beloved, no matter what's happening in the world, good or bad, when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you understand that Jesus is everything. Everything you need. And if you don't know him as your Savior, you need to trust him as your Savior today. And I will give you an opportunity to do that after this short message. Please turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. The Bible reads, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, go with him two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Holy Father God, thank you for your holy word. Help us to take heed to it. Help us to learn from it. Help us to grow by it. And help us to obey it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Francis Bacon said, "In taking revenge, a man is but even with his enemy, but in passing it over, he is superior." Jesus' interpretation of the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth law goes contrary to human nature. However, once we are saved, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to resist not an evil person or an evil action. And it is an amazing thing that God does in the soul and in the spirit. when an evil person attacks us on account of our faith. But Jesus commands us to go even further. Not only does he tell us to not resist the harm that others intend to do to us, but he tells us to extend our charity to those who do us harm at the point of injury. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. It's too late for that in the back. The Bible background commentary says the blow on the right cheek was the most grievous insult in the ancient Near East. It was an insult and an act of calculated contempt, and it was never taken lightly. Kent Hughes writes, according to rabbinic law, to hit someone with the back of the hand was twice as insulting as hitting him with the flat of the hand. It was an insult for which a Jew could seek legal satisfaction. That is, he could seek damages. The back of the hand meant withering disdain. It meant that you were scorned as inconsequential, a nothing, or rather a nobody. Imagine how you would respond. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice in this passage what Jesus said. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. I mentioned to you earlier that you cannot do this on your own. You need Jesus. This is Jesus' teaching, and so therefore you need Jesus to help you with this. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And the truth of the matter is, most of us as Christians are not quite there yet. Some are. But where most Christians who have been saved a while are, is that we're at the point where we just let some things go. Whereas before, we didn't do that. By the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can know now people are wrong, people are mean and hateful, and we can easily let it go. Please do not think, dear Christian, that you're doing something great or that you're a great person. God is giving you the grace and the wisdom to see this thing in slow motion and just let it go. And I'm going to say something here today that's not going to be popular with the world or with some of you judgmental Christians. Some of these sexual harassers that are amazingly being revealed all of a sudden now, like never before in American history, in every area, in every arena, the ministry, the media, which normally look after their own government, and entertainment. For those men who have acknowledged their evil, for those men who have admitted they have done wrong, they've done some filthy, nasty, evil, wicked things, to the young women who are trying to get ahead and trying to get a job and trying to keep a job, unspeakable things. First of all, the first wrong thing is inviting young women to your house to work over there instead of working at the office. You know that's evil. It's hell itself. You know that's wrong. Anybody who has common sense knows that that is not professional. And I will say to every young woman who takes that foolish bait, you're acting foolishly for going over to any man's house who's supposed to be your boss. But that's another sermon, and I'll deal with that. But let me say that for those men, those wicked, vile, evil men who took advantage of their power and the took advantage of the ignorance and the young woman's naivete, and did some unspeakable things, like trying to call a young woman to the shower while you're taking a shower in the bathroom, leaving the bathroom door open, and then walking out of the bathroom with your robe open, showing your private parts to a young lady, seeing how she's going to react. And just FYI, young ladies, the thrill that they got over these years of doing that to you is that, as far as they are concerned in their wicked minds, is that you didn't say anything, and they knew you weren't going to say anything. And so the wicked thrill they got is that they did that to you knowing that you wouldn't say anything because you loved that job. You wanted that job. You wanted that apartment. You wanted that car so doggone much you would allow a grandfather man, an ugly, wrinkled man, to do that to you. A man who has children your age. And it's forever burning your mind. That's why it's coming out now. And by the way, you say, well, preacher, why is it coming out now? I'm still talking about turning the other cheek. Just hold on. Why is it coming out now? Why is this explosion of sexual harassment? It's been going on for years. I will tell you why it's coming out now. Number one, we had a president and a Supreme Court that caused the government to sanction homosexuality, and all of the powerful men who went along with it, because they were wicked as hell. Judgment is coming down on their heads. The ones who pushed for it, the ones who gave millions of dollars for it, Now hell is coming down on their heads. That's right, Harvey Weinstein. I'm glad he's not a homosexual, but he supported it big time. And others. And some were homosexuals. I'm glad to see some of these old men are still interested in the opposite sex. I'm glad to see that part, but they're doing it in the wrong way. I'm not finished. I'm still talking about turning the other cheek. That's number one. Number two, they are reaping what they have sown. The Bible tells us that be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure. Make no mistake about it, Harvey Weinstein. Make no mistake about it, Kevin Spacey. Everybody knew you were a little bit off. Make no mistake about it, Charlie Rose. Make no mistake about it, Roy Moore. And by the way, the same Washington Post that brought out the story on Roy Moore, Judge Moore, brought out the story on one of their own. The most venerable, most respected, most independent anchor known to American audiences, Charlie Rose. You say, preacher, I thought you were talking about turning the other cheek. I am. Just hold on. The other reason why this is happening is because Christians have been praying in recent years like never before in America. And God is turning, while the world was trying to turn God's world on its head, God is turning the world on its head. We have news anchors who are flabbergasted, who are in shock at what they're seeing. When the Washington Post does not smother something on Charlie Rose, God is doing something. The liberal, so-called liberal Washington Post. And they nailed him just as hard as they nailed Judge Roy Moore. I think that's his name, Roy Moore. Is that right? Roy Moore. They nailed him. So we can't blame Bezos and the Washington Post on being biased, because you got to understand, not only is he one of their own as far as liberal lion, but he's one of their own as far as in the media, and he's one of the top people and had more jobs than anybody else. So it's not only Fox News anchors, such as the Factor Man, what's his name? Bill O'Reilly. Not just conservatives, but liberals too. God is answering some prayers in this country. And he's not only cleaning up the church, he's cleaning up government, he's cleaning up the media. And somebody ought to say amen. But let me say this. Those men who are guilty, I am humbly and kindly asking mercy and grace and forgiveness from God and Americans in general and Christians in particular. Those men like President George H.W. Bush, guilty of grabbing women's behinds while taking a picture, knowing in his mind that they wouldn't say anything, would think it was an honor, and some silly-minded women thought it was an honor then. But that kind of stuff has a way of scarring you. Those men who have been honest and admitted it, like President George H.W. Bush, and who apologize, I'm asking you to forgive them. Don't kill them. Louis C.K., the comedian, I'm asking you to forgive him. Turn the other cheek. And don't kill him. You say, well, how about so? I'm not finished. Charlie Rose. You know you love Charlie Rose, and I do too. I like him. I know he's a liberal lion. I like him. I just like him. I'm asking you to forgive Charlie Rose. And don't kill him. Don't kill him financially. Don't kill him. Let him go down to his grave because of this situation. And in fact, I'm asking you to forgive Charlie Rose and give Charlie another chance. What he did was unspeakable. What he did was wicked as hell. I'm asking you to turn the other cheek and forgive them. I'm asking the women to forgive them. As a dirty old man. The comedian, comedian congressman or senator, Al Franken, I think his name is. He has apologized. He has admitted it. I'm asking you to forgive him. I'm asking you to turn the other cheek. America, I'm asking, of course, God to forgive them, but they have to deal with that. They got to talk to God themselves. But I'm asking America. I'm asking Christians in particular. And I'm asking the women who are rightfully accusing them to forgive them. Now, there are others who are defending themselves, finding spies to condemn the accusers, lying on the accusers. These jokers, I want you to throw the book at them. Forgive them, but throw the book at them. The worst out of the bunch, Bill Cosby, a lying devil. And one who does not even know how to play the game. At least Harry Weinstein and them didn't drug the women and knock them out. Cosby is the worst. You say he's the black man. You ought to be for the black man and so forth and so on. Cosby is the worst out of the whole bunch. Get him. Forgive him if you can, but he needs to suffer the consequences. Harvey Weinstein trying to get up spies and everything to get dirt on the accusers. Get him. Forgive him if you can, but throw the book at him. Besides that, he's accused of rape. All of these little defenders, all of these people who are denying and lying, throw the book at them. Forgive them if you can, But throw the book. Get everything you can from them. Get several million dollars. Put them in jail. Whatever needs to happen. All of these liars trying to cover up their sin when they know they're wrong. Roy Moore. You say he's a Christian brother. Well, the problem is, you say, well, he's being accused of the same thing that Trump was accused. No, he's not. No, he's not. Trump was wrong in what he did, but he did it, if you will, the right way. He did not mess with any children. This man is being accused of raping children and molesting children. Throw the book at him. Throw the book at the judge. And I don't care who likes it, lumps it, or choke on it. And if you are for that foolishness, that he has put down, you're more concerned about politics and votes than you are about God and his word. Yea, the Ten Commandments that he stood for. And so there are some who have come clean, who have admitted they have done wrong, and they have apologized, and they've shown contrition. And some are not even saved. I'm asking you to turn the other cheek, America. I'm asking you to turn the other cheek, Christians. I'm asking you to turn the other cheek, ladies. But some, we collectively need to throw not only a book, but all of the books at them. Cosby, number one. Number two, Harvey Weinstein. So I thought you like, I do like Harvey. I love Harvey Weinstein. I love his gift. I love the fact that he's a Jew, but he's wrong. And Roy Moore. Well, he's a Christian. You got to love him. He's your Christian brother. He is my Christian brother, and I do love him. But we're talking about children here, not adults. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I am all for men going for women if they're not married. Both parties not married. I believe you need to go for the gusto. You need to desire that woman strongly. And so I understand that. But not sexual harassment, not force, not rape, and all this other foolishness. Do it the right way. And just let me say as I close, to all young ladies, stop being so silly-minded. I know you're going to say he's blaming the victim. I'm not blaming anybody but the men who perpetrated this garbage. At the same time, stop being so naive to think that these old powerful men don't want to tear you apart. They don't just say woof woof, they say woof woof. Because as somebody lied on one of the commercials, your dog has a little woof in them, woof. And when they bite, when these old dogs bite, they tear out a part of your soul and your spirit. And every good thing in you that you will never recover from. Wolf, wolf. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And you have got to stop being so naive, so foolish acting in your behavior. You've got to stop being so silly-minded. When your boss says, come over to my house, what do you think he has in mind? You can come work on. I have a desk at the at the house for you to come sit. That's dumb as hell to believe something like that, people. Well, I thought maybe, you know, he wanted me to work at... Wolf! Wolf! Wolf, wolf! Stop being so naive. Stop hoping that powerful men who act so gentlemanly in public and at the job don't want to rip you apart. And they don't care about snatching a part of your soul and a part of your spirit that you will never regain again. They will forget your name, but you will never forget them. Stop treating powerful men, bosses, like they're some little G God, like you're some kind of groupie, always grinning and smiling at everything they say. They like that because that wolf comes out of them. And they love. You ever heard of Mary had a little lamb? You wonder why in many of these fairy tales there was a wolf? And that wolf always talks and disguises himself. Oh, what beautiful hair you have. Woof, woof. Oh, what beautiful eyes you have. Woof, woof. Let me rub your stressful shoulders. Woof, woof. Let me give you a hand with that. Woof, woof. Oh, you need some furniture for your apartment? I can help you with that. Woof, woof. As long as you... let me lay in the furniture with you. Woof, woof. You having trouble getting a car? That's all right. I know somebody. Let me go down and open up a door for you. Woof, woof. You're beholden to him from now on. He's going to expect you to produce. Woof, woof. Don't be so naive. Don't be so stupid. Don't be so silly-minded. And many of these women are guilty of that. You're blaming the victim. No, you're not stupid. You're not. You can't be. Stop allowing yourself to be used like that. Because that old man is going to win. That old dog is going to win. And you're going to lose. And here's what happens, my beloved. Here's what happens. You say, well, why about all the women coming out? And they didn't say anything for 15 and 20 years. And now they're all coming out. They're old and fat and everything. And now they're telling the truth about what these men did when I was young, and the women are saying I didn't deserve that, and so forth and so on, and you didn't. But here's what happens. That man goes on, becomes a star, superstar. Got it going on. Charlie Rose does not just have one house. He has six houses. One in France. One in the country from my home state, or one of my home states of North Carolina. One in my other home state in New York. Two in New York. One in Washington, D.C. Multi-millionaire. So is the factor man. Rich. What's his name again? Bill O'Reilly. They have big mansions. They go on and you know, they have their families and their children and so forth. And you mean nothing to them. See, that wolf grabs a part of your soul, your spirit, and your mind. He forgets you, but you'll never forget him. And what happens is, my beloved, you don't like feeling like nothing. You don't like feeling used. You don't like feeling at a certain point, you don't like feeling like trash. So that when you see him again at a party or something, and he does not even acknowledge you, because he's already had you. He already knows what you're about, and he dares you to say anything. You are nothing to him, and you don't like feeling like nothing. You don't like feeling like discarded trash. You don't like feeling like a whore, like a slut. You don't like feeling like that because of what he did. And so that's why, after a while, by and by, just a little bait, just a little money, just a little something will bring you out to expose what he did and at the same time embarrass yourself. You're not going to hear this from another preacher. I thought I would tell it to you and tell you the truth, because that's how it's going to play out. And by the way, Roy Moore may win. He may still win. And those women will go back into the, back to Alabama where they came from, and we'll never hear from them again. He'll go on to be a congressman and maybe run for president one day. That's how it works. So it's best never to put yourself in that position in the first place. You say, well, he invited me over to his house, but his wife was okay with it. See, you're acting really foolishly here. His wife may be in on it. They both might be planning to abduct you and make you their little sex slave, even though you'd have been to 6 years of college. Don't be silly-minded. And here's what happens. Then you don't listen to, by the way, we got some fathers who don't tell their children. Shame on you. Shame on you, sir. Shame on you, ma'am, with your skinny jeans on, setting a bad example for your daughter by whoring around with your boss as well, and you think it's okay to let your daughter go work for the same boss who you know what he's going to do. And you don't tell your daughter, you don't warn your daughter, and you can't, because they've seen you do this same old garbage yourself. But thank God for the few fathers who will try to tell their daughters, but they foolishly won't listen. Until the wolf bites you, when he makes you do some kind of sexual act on him, and he bites you, and then after that is over, he forces himself on top of you. You try to stop him, and he rapes you. And then we notice the change in you. You try to hide it. You don't want to see your father and mother anymore because you can't look them in the eye. You lie. You start acting strange and foolishly. The family that you once loved, now you despise. And you make up things about that family that you once loved, and that family that helped you to get to where you are. That father who sacrificed everything to get you to where you are. Now you're strung out, got your nose wide open by some old dog, some old wolf. And now you have no joy, you have no peace, and now you are hurt. You won't tell your father, but you will tell your sister, and you'll tell your sister not to tell. But eventually, after a while, by and by, it all comes out, and now you want help. Now you're in a fetal position in your room and don't want to come out. You're depressed. At one point you had the world on a string, and now is all come crumbling down. And what we all need, Charlie Rose, Al Franken, President George H.W. Bush, Louis C.K., and even the others who I said deserve the book thrown at them, Bill Cosby. Harry Weinstein, now Congressman Conyers, he's on that second list as well because he's denying and lying. And who else is on that second list? I mentioned one other who deserves the book thrown at him. Cosby, number one. Conyers. Say it again. Say it again. Roy Moore. And there's one other. Harvey Weinstein. The main thing they all need, and we all need, and even you ladies need, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for all of these men and all of you women is that you trust Christ as Savior and go on with your life. Forgive those who have apologized, and admitted their wrongdoing, and have done it in a very respectful and humble, contrite fashion. Those who are still fighting and defending and making your enemies list, throw the book at them. Sue them for whatever you can get out of them. If they can go to jail, put them in jail, because they're not going to stop otherwise. But for right now, every last one who I have mentioned, and you, dear young lady, all of us need to turn to Jesus. All of us need to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn the cheek if you can. Forgive those who have apologized and let them go. Don't kill them. Those who have not apologized and they want to put up a fight, get them. But forgive them as well. And ask God to forgive you. And ask God to forgive them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. The Bible says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou you shalt be saved. We understand, obviously, that we're all sinners. The men are grossly guilty. And the truth of the matter is, many of the women are guilty too. Not only being naive and silly-minded, but also dressing provocatively to get men's attention. That needs to cease. That needs to be talked about too. You're going to get a man's attention if you're showing your breasts on the job, which is unprofessional. Showing your behind on the job. Not wearing underclothes and all such stuff like that is going to get you in trouble. That's going to bring out the wolf in almost any man. Yes, many pastors and evangelists as well. But right now, we need to deal with this issue. If you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? If you're not sure, or if you know that you would go to hell, here's how you can be saved. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have. President George H.W. Bush, Judge Roy Moore, Bill Cosby, once the father of the nation, in recent times, if you will. We all have come short. We all have sinned. Let's not be shocked like so many people are. This has been going on for years, and there's more to come, by the way. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin, for sexual harassment, for lust, for coveting somebody that is not yours, for rape, for touching another woman that you're not married to. And by the way, gentlemen, I think it's high time that all of us take the Billy Graham rule to heart and the Mike Pence rule to heart. We ought not to be in an office. We ought not to be in any enclosed area. We ought not to be in our house or in an apartment or in a hotel room with a woman that we're not married to. Amen. Somebody. All that foolishness needs to cease. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." The death of a reputation. In the case of President George H.W. Bush, in the case of Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey was another one on that list that ought to have the book thrown at him. He's second under Cosby. The death of a career. Can you imagine living 70-something plus years and man had it going on and got it going on and you're known and respected? When Gayle King comes after you, you're in trouble. When Nora O'Donnell comes after you and say some things about you, you got problems. Careers shot to hell, careers dead and in hell. There will always be an asterisk when they write about you in the obituary, and more than an asterisk. Somebody had already placed the allegations of Charlie Rose that came out yesterday on Wikipedia before I got home to look at it. For I was out on the road last night. And so thirdly, my dear friends, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. And if these men don't confess their sins and repent of their adultery, their fornication, their rape, their assault against young women, their lying, conniving, and deceiving, being a wolf in sheep's clothing, taking advantage of a young lady who's seeking a job and seeking a career. You're trying to use her as a sex slave and a slave to keep your children and to keep your house. And this young lady has a master's degree in journalism. You dirty dog. You're going to hell. Yes, the same hell that the New York Post said Charles Manson went to. the same hell that Jesus Christ preached about more than anybody in the Bible, the same hell that Jesus preached more on than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You say, "Preacher, who's going to hell?" Revelation 21:8 tells us who's going to hell. This may not be exhaustive, but it covers quite a few people. The Bible says, "But the fearful," people too afraid to trust Christ as Savior because they fear persecution, they fear their family members, "and unbelieving," the people who are atheists and agnostics, some of the people that we're talking about today are that way. Agnostics, atheists, unbelievers in God, in Jesus. But some are believers. Some defend the Ten Commandments, but yet they mess with little girls. And the abominable, mean and hateful, cruel people, the Kevin Spaceys of the world, the homosexuals. For homosexuality is an abomination in God's sight. And when you become some monster, grabbing man's genitals, talking about "that's mine," like you're some demonic child. And murderers. Powerful people who kill others to cover up their sin. And whoremongers. There we go. Whoremongers. Every last one I named today is a whoremonger. From President George H.W. Bush on down. And I like President George H.W. Bush. I've always liked him. I still like him. Louis C.K. Bill Cosby. Worse than a whoremonger. Putting the women who he's whoremongering with to sleep. And then rapes him. And I don't care if he likes it. Whoremongers. All whoremongers. And when you have whoremongers, you also have some whores. And some women have been whores. They're not innocent little lamb victims. They're whores who provoke these men. Some of these men. "Oh, you blaming the victim." I'm not blaming anybody. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Male and female. There are men who want to get you, and there's some women, some whores who want to be got. And that's a fact. You can come at me with some foolishness if you want to, but that's a fact. There's some women who want to be got. There are little women who are acting like dogs in heat, throwing themselves at men. And sorcerers, witches, and witchcraft, warlocks, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo. You're going beyond the sex and getting into Satan worship and all kinds of other evil. And idolaters, people who worship sex and women and men more than they love God. And all liars. On that second list that I listed, they're liars. They may not be proven guilty in a court of law, but in God's court, God knows the truth. You can't have that many people lying on you, man. They don't even know each other. And Roy Moore knows, as a Christian, that we should be beyond reproach. Meaning we shouldn't even be accused of such things. When Richard Land tells you, your friend tells you that you need to take a lie to take the test, something is wrong somewhere. The Bible says all of these shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, beloved, that is bad news if I've ever heard any. But I have some good news for Harry Weinstein. I have some good news for George H.W. Bush. I have some good news for Al Franken. I have some good news for Louis C.K. I have some good news for even Kevin Spacey. I have some good news. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you need today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That includes all of the men I mentioned and all of the women. "That he gave his only begotten son." His name is Jesus Christ. "That whosoever," that word whosoever means anybody at any time in history, "that if all the men I mentioned, all of the women involved, would believe in him, they should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life," even though they deserve to go to hell. And I deserve to go to hell too. Because I was a whoremonger. I thought it was a sin not to have sex with a woman that I'm not married to. I thought you were a punk if you didn't have your two or three girlfriends when I was lost and on my way to hell. But then somebody came to me and told me what I just told you, and I got saved. And I have not been perfect since I've been saved. And if it were not for the grace of God, I'll have me two or three girlfriends right now. But God's not going to bless that, and I don't like the chastening hand of God. He loves me so much, he's not going to let me do that. And so I might as well not do it, because when God gets started on you about your evil, it's kind of like he doesn't know when to stop. He does, but it, to you, it's like, oof, Lord, have mercy. And so I don't mess with God like that. By the grace of God, I've learned to obey him, because I like being blessed. And so, nobody's condemning you. Nobody's looking down their nose at you, man. We're all in this struggle together. But you can't do stuff like that. God's going to get you when you start messing with his female children or his male children. You devil, Kevin Spacey. And if they're going to take back Harvey Weinstein's Oscar, they need to take back all of your rewards as well. Be that as it may, get saved. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody. and be saved today. If you're willing to do that right now, dear friend, that is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask Him to save you. Join me in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Holy Father God, Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I've done wrong in your sight. I've committed adultery. I have lied about things. I have stolen things. I have coveted people that I'm not married to. I have been disobedient to my parents. I've dishonored my parents. And other commandments I have broken. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to repent of the evil I have done. Help me to turn from my old life and to follow you and to obey you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, here or wherever you are in the world, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if any of these men did not hear it and you know them, pass this message on to them. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let me know, or one of our other emails on our other sites and platforms. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good.